This is Vision for Christ World, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. The program today is called Things to Do. All religions require their people to do this or that to achieve their ultimate religious goal or to fulfill some religious requirement. To make a pilgrimage to a holy site, for example. To give money to the poor. To empty your mind of all thought. Or maybe a religion promises that if you faithfully obey all their rules, you will come back to earth after death as a higher form of animal life, or even live a better life on earth, still with all the trials and troubles of earthly life, though. By contrast, by an enormous contrast, the only action required to become a Christian and to be acceptable to God and to go to heaven is to truly believe in His only Son, Jesus Christ, and to repent of their former sinful lifestyle, in short, to become born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 clearly states, "So then if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come into being." It's a spiritual rebirth. John 1:10-13, "Jesus was in the world, and the world was created by Him, but the world did not recognize Him. He came to what was His own, but His own people did not receive Him. But to all who have received Him, those who believe in His name, He has given the right to become the children of God. Children not born by human parents, or by human desire, or a husband's decision, but by God." More on this choice you have to make in a few moments. Father God, let me show everyone who You really are and reveal Your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in the name of Jesus. Amen. Some material for this program is from gotquestions.org. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe on AM medium wave radio, FM local area radio, as well as on shortwave radio. Our website address, visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website at visionforchristworld.com/contact. Our website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Just click on Programs at the top of the page. Also, Pastor Terry Priestap and his wife Jean have written many Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That website address is visionforchristworld.com. So, do you want a faith, a lifestyle that demands constant, good, religious works without any assurance that you will eventually be acceptable to whatever religion you've chosen? Or you could trust in Jesus, who said, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke on you and learn from Me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy to bear, and My load is not hard to carry." That promise is in Matthew 11:28-30. In John 12:26, Jesus said, "If anyone serves Me, he must follow Me, and where I am, there will My servant be also. If anyone serves Me, the Father will honor him." Now, the Christian life is not all nice and easy. In Mark 8:34, we read, "And calling the crowd to Him with His disciples, He said to them, 'If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me.'" But taking up the cross, doing good deeds as a Christian, come after faith and repentance. It is that faith in Jesus and repentance from sin and wrong living that gives people eternal life with God in heaven one day. It is not the good things Christians do that gain or merit them eternal life. Not at all. In Ephesians 2:8-10, we get the boldest and most direct statement of the order of salvation. "For by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, it is not from works, so that no one can boast. That is salvation. Then, afterwards, we read verse 10. For we are his creative work, having been created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God prepared beforehand so that we can do them. 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20 shows that righteous, good, decent living is expected and made possible by the Holy Spirit of God living within the Christian to give him or her the power and the desire to live honorably. This verse says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." So, why is salvation by works the most commonly held viewpoint in religions worldwide? The simple answer is that salvation by works seems right in the eyes of man. One of man's basic desires is to be in control of his own destiny, and that includes his eternal destiny. Salvation by works appeals to man's pride and his desire to be in control. Being saved by works appeals to that desire far more than the idea of being saved by faith alone. Also, man has an inherent sense of justice. Even the most ardent atheist believes in some type of justice and has a sense of right and wrong, even if he has no moral basis for making such judgments. Our inherent sense of right and wrong demands that if we are to be saved, our good works must outweigh our bad works. Therefore, it is natural that when man creates a religion, it would involve some type of salvation by works. Because salvation by works appeals to man's sinful nature, it forms the basis of almost every religion except for biblical Christianity. Proverbs 14:12 tells us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Salvation by works seems right to men, which is why it is the predominantly held viewpoint. That is exactly why biblical Christianity is so different from all other religions. It is the only religion that teaches salvation is a gift of God and not of works. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Again, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Another reason why salvation by works is the main viewpoint, although incorrect, is that natural or unregenerate man does not fully understand the extent of his own sinfulness or of God's holiness. Man's heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17:9, and God is infinitely holy, Isaiah 6:3. The deceit of our hearts is the very thing that colors our perception of the extent of that deceit and is what prevents us from seeing our true state before a God whose holiness we are also unable to fully comprehend. But the truth remains that our sinfulness and God's holiness combine to make our best efforts as filthy rags before a holy God. See Isaiah 64:6. The thought that man's good works could ever balance out his bad works is a totally unbiblical concept. Not only that, but the Bible also teaches that God's standard is nothing less than 100% perfection. If we stumble in keeping just one part of God's righteous law, we are as guilty as if we had broken all of it. James 2:10. Therefore, there is no way we could ever be saved if salvation truly were dependent on works. There are simply too many verses that teach that a person is not saved by works for any Christian to believe otherwise. Titus 3:4-5 is one of many such passages. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Good works do not contribute to salvation, but they will always be characteristic of one who has been born again. Good works are not the cause of salvation, they are the evidence of it. Because Christian salvation comes entirely from God through faith in Jesus Christ, no one will ever get to heaven and say that they are there because of their own goodness or their own fine character. Romans 3:23 lays this out honestly. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Surrender your will, your heart, your soul, and your mind to the control of Jesus in saving faith. Humble yourself before God and tell Him so in your own words. Now let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to repent of their sins, truly turning away from sin, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life. Starting today, by having personal, saving faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe on AM medium wave radio, FM local area radio, as well as on shortwave radio. Our website address, visionforchristworld.com. You may contact us through our website at visionforchristworld.com/contact. Our website works on your internet-enabled mobile phone as well as your computer. You can listen to past, present, and future programs there. Just click on Programs at the top of the page. Also, Pastor Terry Priestap and his wife Jean have written many Bible blog articles to help you in your Christian life. That website address is visionforchristworld.com. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor, praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal saving faith. I will leave you today with this text from John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the disciples of Jesus had gathered together and locked the doors of the place because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. Just as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And after he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you retain anyone's sins, they are retained." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "Unless I see the wounds from the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the wounds from the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will never believe it." 8 days later, the disciples were again together in the house, and Thomas was with them this time. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and examine my hands. Extend your hand and put it into my side. Do not continue in your unbelief, but believe." Thomas replied to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are the people who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus performed many other miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.